Welcome, welcome, one and all. Welcome to the Scotty Johnny Podcast. I am your not-so-humble host, Jonathan Barnett. And with me, again, Aaron Flottam. How are we doing today, Aaron?
John, I am verklempt.
All right.
What are we going to talk about?
Yeah, nothing happened this week. The ding-dong, the Dodgers are dead, thank goodness.
Yes.
We were all rooting against them because they are dirty, dirty players. And Yasiel Puig against celebrating and not doing anything much else. But there we go.
But, yeah. So what about this? What about those Twitter handles, John?
Yeah, that's what I was about to get to. If you want to reach out to the show, follow the show. We've had a little bit going on here. It's at ScottyJohnny1 on Twitter. You can also reach me at JBarn54. Got caught up there, Aaron. Aaron, where are they going to find you on Twitter?
You're going to find me at Cheddar Talk. At Cheddar Talk. Lots of videos of Manny Machado being a total prong. And what else do I have going on these days? I've kind of moved into Bucks highlights now. So I have to replace that Brewers vacuum with something else. And So at Cheddar Talk. Find it. What's going on, John, this last weekend here? What did your Badgers do? I see they don't have a number in front of their name anymore.
No, and they shouldn't. They were god awful. In fairness, this goes back to last week. This is going to go back to last week because I said everybody needs to stop with all the, Alex Hornibrook's terrible. He's terrible. He's the only thing wrong with this team. Replace him. Well, they did replace him because he was dealing with a concussion this week, still going through the protocol, and they're terrible without him.
They lost to a bunch of law school students.
Which, none of those guys are law school students. I hate Pat Fitzgerald as a coach. I can't stand that guy. I don't mind Northwestern, generally speaking, as the university and the football team. They're cute and whatnot, and you feel good for them. I can't stand him.
Once in a while, Charlton Heston shows up at school. Yeah.
I don't think so. But I can't stand him. He's obnoxious. He is the chestiest person to have never won anything in his life. Like, he gets up there and talks, nobody gave us any respect, and nobody said we could do it. You're like, you just beat a D2 school. Just calm down. He gets up there. They win a home game against Illinois, and they're like, yeah, no, give us our respect. We're show people. We're going to shock the world. You're like, shut up. Just shut up. He gets out there and just starts yelling at everybody, and everything is the greatest travesty that's ever occurred to anybody. And you're just like, man, you are Northwestern. You have won nothing. You've had some nice seasons. You won a bowl game, which is super exciting for Northwestern. And that's great for them.
They won the Big Ten back when we were in like high school, didn't they?
Yeah, when he was a player.
Oh, he was a player. Yes.
Yeah, he was a linebacker on that team.
Who was that running back that they had?
Oh, I'm forgetting his name. I'll think of it
later. I want to say it's Allstott, but it was just another white fullback. No, Allstott
went to Purdue. Allstott went to Purdue.
Yeah,
I can't think of his name. I don't care either. That was a nice story.
We don't rely on facts on this show anyway. So yeah, let's just move along.
We got a fair amount of facts, but I don't have Northwestern facts because there aren't any.
Because they're terrible.
And that stadium was 2/3 Badgers. Yeah, I could see it. You just looked at that stadium, and next week it'll be 3/4 Notre Dame fans. So, that's a disheartening loss for the Badgers because they started the season with, man, we're top four, but it doesn't matter because everything's in front of us. We got to do what we got to do. Last year doesn't matter. And then they lost to BYU, and they're like, you know what? And I got really tired of this narrative early. The everything they want is still in front of them. Everybody needs to calm down because all their goals are still in front of them. And I was like, no, they aren't. This team, if your goal...
they're done. They're cashed.
When you started off ranked number four and one of your goals, you didn't have as one of your goals to make the college football playoff, then what were you doing? What was your plan? What goals did you have other than maintaining a top four ranking and getting into the college football playoff? If that wasn't one of their goals, then this team was doomed for not having the ability to make goals that mattered. And then they lose, a tough one at Michigan, and that's a hard place to go into and win. But you were still all right then, I think. They played them all right. They didn't have the game that they should have had, and it got away from them late, especially. Right. But yeah, as soon as Hornibrook was out of that offense was dreadful. They couldn't run because Northwestern just put 9 guys in the box because they're like, throw, I dare you. You realize when you watch that there is a grudging respect of Alex Hornibrook's ability to throw, even though they don't throw with him.
Right.
And without him in there, everybody just sat in the box and they crushed the run game, and there was no offense. There was no offense. And there were some people trying to say that Cone looked good. He looked okay. He looked like a sophomore who needed to throw short. He was very accurate and on time on his crossing patterns, on his short routes, on his little outs, on his little look-ins and stuff. But he can't get the ball deep. Not yet. Yeah. And I'm not saying he can't. I'm saying he didn't, and he needs to continue practicing. But by the way, by the time Hornibrook leaves, there's going to be a guy called Graham Mertz who's going to be taking over that job instead of Cone. So, you know, enjoy your time with the W on your helmet, buddy. This was your start, and this might be the last start. I don't know. It depends on injuries, I guess, for the next couple of years.
So, by the way, just pulling up some Northwestern history here. Did you know that the Badgers won the first ever Big Ten championship?
I guess I didn't know that, but
back in 1896 with a 2-0-1 record. Anyways, so moving along to 1995-96, Northwestern did outright win the Big Ten in 95 with a 8-0 conference record and a 10-2 overall record, 8 in the AP poll, 7th in the coaches poll, lost in the Rose Bowl to USC. Yep. That was Gary Barnett, your uncle, was coaching that team. And then the next year your uncle coached that team to a 7-1 record in conference, tying with Ohio State. 9-3 overall, 15-16, blah, 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 blah. They lost in the Citrus Bowl to Tennessee. And then, of course, Ohio State went on to beat Arizona State in the Rose Bowl because they had the higher seed coming out of that. So while Gary Bennett did raise them to prominence in the mid-90s, they still lost both of their bowl games. And that player in question was...
they had a halfback, too. An interesting halfback on that team. I can't remember his name.
Autry.
Oh, okay.
Yep, number 24, Darnell Autry. The running back that I was trying to think of. I think, right?
That sounds right. That's a name I recognize now that I hear it. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. It was a bad loss, and now you just say there's no way the Badgers win in Penn State. They have to win out, and they need help. And at this point...
They're going to play in the Pinstripe
Bowl. Come on. They'll get a Pinstripe Bowl entry or something like that. I don't know. The biggest thing, too, is that this defense is just not as advertised. They have not been as good. And in fairness, Sagapalu was injured much of the game and some of last week. He's had some stuff going on. We've been without both of our starting safeties for big stretches, including the game yesterday. I think that was one of the other things that really hurt this team is injuries in the defensive backfield. The Badgers were playing basically a 2-4 nickel, and they could spread us out, and then we were playing essentially to stop the pass because that's the thing they've been good at, and then they decided to run at it. And, yeah, especially without Sagapalu, we didn't have the ability to make those plays consistently enough that we could stop them. They had one of their best running games of the season. And that was, you know, it was a good game plan. They had attacking us kind of where we were strong because we had to reposition ourselves to where we were weak. But yeah, tough game. They're not going to beat Penn State. They're going to get past, you know, some of these other teams in the way. They're going to beat Minnesota because Minnesota is god-awful this year. But Minnesota got their first Big Ten win of the season this week too, so... I don't know. We'll beat, was it Rutgers and Minnesota and stuff, but it's not the year we were promised. It's not what it should have been. We're going to have to see how they come out of this and what they're going to do with this team going forward. And, I mean, they're going to bring back a lot of people, parts of that offensive line. They're going to bring back their running back. They're going to bring back all the receivers from this year. They're going to bring back Hornibrook. They'll have Graham Mertz probably looking to redshirt next year. And... you know, we're going to lose chunks of this defense, but we're going to have to see what they can bring up underneath it. But there have been a couple good recruiting classes. It's going to be good in a couple years again, and we just might be in the lull between some really good teams.
Darnell Autry ended up having 653 yards in the NFL between the Bears and the Eagles. Four touchdowns, not too bad. But those 653 yards were on 224 rushing attempts. That's a, I don't know math, but that's barely 3 yards a carry.
Yeah. I mean, that's better than I did in the NFL, but
yeah,
I'm not the standard they use.
Absolutely. Sorry. Some more of that hot Northwestern talk. Sorry, I just didn't want to talk about the Badgers anymore because it's infuriating.
Well, in fairness, White just rushed up the middle for the Patriots as we're recording this. So
that was a joke. Sorry, I lost my joke. I completely lost it during pre-production. I was going to say something about, sorry, I was watching the New England Patriots, watching James White and remembering the glory days back when the Badgers used to, you know, womp everybody.
Used to go with 2 and 3 different running backs. I mean, Taiwan Deals looked pretty nice. I don't know whatever happened to Shaw. I mean, he seemed to just disappear after having a very good, promising freshman year, but he seems to have just disappeared entirely.
Well, and you know I'm a fringe Badgers fan. I'm from up north, and so I'm a little bit more in touch with what's happening over with Goldie Gopher. But
they stink.
Yeah, they're terrible, and have been forever. Great volleyball team, though. Anyways, every time they throw up James White on at the beginning of a game and they're like from Wisconsin, I'm like, oh, yeah, that's right, because he was – I mean, his senior year, he was the back at Wisconsin, but he shared a lot of time with a lot of other good running backs.
I think he had 4 straight 1,000-yard seasons. I could be wrong on his freshman
year. You're wrong on that because he had I think his first year playing full-time was a 1,000-yard season, and then he dipped below 1,000 the next 2 years because he was sharing time with Chargers kid.
Melvin Gordon
and
Monte Ball.
And then his senior year, he was like at 1,400 yards. But the one thing he could always do was catch out of the backfield, which he proved in the Super Bowl. He's still the all-time record holder for most catches in a Super Bowl by any player with 14 catches, which is insane, and most points scored in a Super Bowl.
Yeah, he was out 20. There making Brady look good.
Yeah, I know. He did. And the only person ever to score points in overtime in a Super Bowl, too.
Yeah. Nobody points this out ever, but Brady's a dink and dunk guy, and he needs guys like James White and Gronkowski to make it work. And you know, like Amendola
sorry, this is a Patriots apologist, and his big 50 touchdown year. That dude was hucking balls 50 yards downfield to Randy Moss.
Yeah, like, but that only worked because he had Randy Moss, who you could throw it within however many miles of him, and he's catching it. It didn't work with any other receiver, which is why they surround him now with guys who aren't Randy Moss and aren't deep threats. They surround him with scat backs, catching backs, tight ends, and slot receivers.
Well, it seems to work.
Yeah, no, it does work. They know who he is. He's a guy.
That's my Patriots apologist thing. It's like, well, Tom Brady's not that good, and his players aren't that good. Well, they've won a whole lot more Super Bowls than anybody else recently, haven't they, with this weird formula.
Yeah, that's the thing, though. It's the formula.
Yeah,
you put him on the Packers and tell him to do what Rodgers does, we would lose a lot because he can't do any of those things. What he can do is ball gets out in 3 seconds. Well, I throw 5 yards. I throw 5 yards. I throw 7 yards.
Quoted with saying that if Aaron Rodgers was quarterback of the New England Patriots,
they'd go undefeated.
They wouldn't have lost a game in 4 years.
Yeah, they'd have never lost because he's better at all the things Brady does great.
But,
here's
the thing, though, is that Aaron Rodgers doesn't deal with the dink and dunks either.
Well, because that's not the offense we call it. That's not the offense we run. The Packers don't run dink and dunk ever. They just and they should.
And Aaron Rodgers doesn't have the patience to run dink and dunk either.
Well, it's not patience. The problem is he's too patient.
No, he's too goddamn talented.
No, he's too patient. He'll take 5 seconds when he should let go of the ball in 3.
Right. That's what I'm saying. He's too talented. He's looking for the long ball.
When you look at his stuff and you go through when his release is under 3 seconds and his average depth of target drops under 10, he's unstoppable. And he has games like that. He does it, and he'll do it for stretches against teams. But then he's like, but it would be so nice if we had a bigger play. And part of that is just that he knows his defense is going to let him down at some point too.
I mean, Tom Brady is going to the Hall of Fame as the greatest quarterback of all time.
Nope.
Because
he's not Johnny Unger.
He understands though. That's what makes him the greatest. He's the winningest he's the winningest quarterback of all time because he understands what his strengths and weaknesses are, and he plays to his strengths.
Well, Aaron Rodgers, his coach does.
Often plays to his weaknesses, which is holding the ball way too long. And so and you see it when they get into the 2-minute drill, when he's just dinking and dunking and making those out routes and throwing those impossible windows on the sideline routes. You know, it's like, why doesn't he do this all game long?
Here's the difference I have with this. The greatest quarterbacks is the ones who are the best at being a quarterback, and you're saying guys who win. But football is the ultimate team game. Wins are not a quarterback stat, and that is the only stat Tom Brady has on people. It's his only stat that puts him as
still holds the most. He still holds the record for most touchdowns in a season.
No, he doesn't. That was broken like 2 years later. Peyton Manning has two of the top three. Peyton Manning did it with lesser guys than Randy Moss. He had Welker, at least, you know.
The guy who shot at somebody after he was done with his career.
He never had Plexico. Plexico shot himself. You're
Plexico
talking about,
shot himself. Marvin Harrison.
Harrison and?
Who was the other one?
Yeah, he had Reggie Wayne for a bit, but they weren't overlapped particularly well.
He had Harrison and Reggie Wayne for a good chunk of his.
Well, they were only together for like a couple years.
And he had Demaryius Thomas and a cast of players, and when he was out in Denver too.
Yeah,
and Eric Decker before he got bad.
And then he set every record. because if you put them both on the same team and you said, run the offense you want to run. I mean, like you just put them on the same team. Manning's better at it. But he never had Belichick. If he'd had Belichick, he'd have won 10 Super Bowls.
No, now you say that, though, too. But at the same time, I would argue that Belichick needed Brady as well because Brady bought into the system.
Except for he's 13-6 without him.
Both Aaron Rodgers and Peyton Manning are their own people, and they don't like being told what to do. You can tell that's their personalities, where Tom Brady has completely sold out. He sold his soul to Belichick. And so I think they need each other. It's one of those symbiotic relationships that if one didn't have the other, it wouldn't work. I mean, otherwise Belichick would still be the coach in Cleveland.
Well, the other thing though, is he's 13-6 without him. So he does it without him too. He doesn't need him. He wins without him. Every time he's hurt, they still win.
But
over the course of
15 years, he hasn't had him for 19 games. I mean, Aaron Rodgers has almost missed 19 games.
They went 11-5 without him. You know what I mean? Like, with Matt Castle, who couldn't do it anywhere else.
Matt Castle has one of the best videos.
Jacoby Brissett looked great. He was a world beater when he had him. And then he's nothing. He can't play anywhere else. He doesn't make a roster anywhere else. Right, but when he's playing for the Patriots, he's a world beater. Because they've got the team. They've built the team and they understand who they are. And that's where they beat the Packers, because the Packers don't know who they are.
Right. Well,
McCarthy
obvious.
Knows.
That's obvious. Nice segue. That was about a 20-minute segue.
Right.
There, but
and here's the problem is Mike McCarthy knows what he wants to do, but he doesn't tailor it to the people he has. He just is like, you guys need to start doing
Mike
this.
Mike McCarthy lost his team in Seattle 5 years ago, 4 years ago.
And
in
he doesn't
the NFC
adjust.
Championship game.
Right.
And he's never gotten it back.
And he doesn't adjust to things. So he's a
well,
nice
and
coach.
maybe it was a Ted Thompson thing now, and I don't know. You hear reports every once in a while that Aaron Rodgers is toxic to be around because he's so difficult to be around because he's such a taskmaster and stuff like that. Who's to know what the hell goes on in that locker room? Because we don't. Because we're not part of that locker room. We're fans.
Right.
But.
Yeah. And in the end, I don't know. Like, I'd be completely fine if they fired him. I guess I wouldn't be heartbroken if they brought him back this next year. But in terms of people, to segue ourselves here, too, into the big thing I know you wanted to talk about, and you went very loudly on Twitter, somebody who I know you wouldn't be heartbroken if he was gone, Ty Montgomery after this last game. Give it. Come on.
Initially, I did go hard on Twitter, and I went harder on you on text message beforehand when I was still trying to gather my thoughts on this one, because my initial anger was towards the special teams unit in general. And now Tom, after an article by Tom Silverstein and everything that's come out today, it's my initial thought was just like the Bostic onside kick. It was like, did this player just go rogue and just do what they thought they, because that's what happened with Bostic. He went rogue.
Yeah. Yeah.
He just decided it'd be a good idea to do this. And then it turns out that Ty Montgomery thought it'd be a good idea to do this. And then it starts coming out, and you start reading Ty Montgomery quotes today, is that Ty, he felt like he wasn't doing enough to help the team. And so he did the most selfish thing he could do to try and help the team. And that was do the worst thing you could possibly do for the team. I even brought up, and I texted this to Mike Heller's show today, and it got put on the air too, was that had he returned it for a touchdown, that would have given the Rams the ball back with a minute 50.
Yeah.
So even if he would have had the best scenario in that situation, which is returning it for a touchdown to help your team, it still would have left the Rams with a minute 50 to do something with the ball. And on top of that, just bringing it out of the end zone kills the two minute warning. What's the best you're going to do? Get it to the 30-yard line? I haven't seen a Packer return a kick for a touchdown since Desmond Howard in the Super Bowl almost 20 years ago.
Jeez, not quite.
And as Heller brought up too, the most likely scenario when you bring a ball out of the end zone, the fumble was probably touchdown being the most unlikely, fumbling the ball 1B, like the two most – unlikely scenarios right there, right?
Yeah.
Touchdown being a little bit harder to do. Fumble doesn't happen as often because nobody returns balls anymore. What's most likely to happen? Somebody gets called for holding or a block in the back or anything because nobody on that team was expecting a return, and then all of a sudden they see him coming out. Now they're going to just shuck somebody in the back. So at best, they would have gotten the ball at the 10-yard line with no two-minute warning. There was nothing that made sense about that whatsoever in any way, shape, or form. Like, and I love Ty. I've been one of the biggest defenders of Ty Montgomery. Like, the dude was a wide receiver who went to running back to help the team.
Yeah.
This is 100% true. But now between this play and the fact that another player unnamed called him out in an article, and now there's distrust in the locker room, what are you going to do? I mean, it's not like...
Yeah. No, and your first take, too, is kind of my feeling is I don't like Ron Zook. I don't think he's a good coach. I don't think he has been a good coach. I think he's shown that he doesn't understand the difference between a football and a hole in the ground. But
he proved that when he was a quarterback.
I don't understand the football play of it. The idea that you were going to do something that was going to help your team by, first off, removing the ability. I mean, 2 minutes, 5 seconds with Aaron Rodgers with the ball at the 25. And a stop of the clock at the two-minute warning and one timeout. You're like, what? That's a no-brainer. And that's what we do basically every time. And I don't understand the move at all. And it drives me crazy. But I'll tell you this, though. At the end of the day, I didn't get as worked up about that as if it had happened in like the Bears game or something, because I didn't think we were going to be in this game. So I'm not, I guess just for whatever reason, I'm not as worked up about this game because I started with the expectation that I thought we were going to get beat badly on the road in what was essentially a home game, I guess, because there were way more Packers fans than Rams fans at that game.
Oh,
it
sorry.
Was crazy.
Well, you got me knocked out of my... I was really angry there for a second just listening to you talk.
That's what I do.
I will bring it back to what I was going to say. And so now I'm super self-conscious about all of us Brewers fans that were being really mean about the fact that Cubs fans take over Miller Park and are more loud than the hometown fans.
Okay.
And like... Oh, we've been doing this for 40 years as Packer fans.
Yeah,
we
but I don't blame the Cubs on that. I blame us.
We should probably shut our mouths.
I don't blame the Cubs for that. That's good on them. I blame us. We should stop. I mean, like, we need to get in there or shut up about it. I mean, another thing is
right, exactly. And so I'm sitting here hearing the go pack go chant down in LA, and I'm like, wow, we are really hypocritical about ourselves, aren't we?
I'll still say we. My big thing is, we're out there doing the go pack go, but as we leave the stadium, we're still like, hey, that was a great game. You guys had a great game. That was a great game. Cubs fans are like, I hate all of you and you suck, and I hate all of you. And you're like, stop that. Just yeah. Enjoy your game, couldn't you?
Yeah, because I can imagine that there was no Packer. There's probably no Packers and Rams fans like jawing at each other. Well, except for maybe a couple of drunkies here and there, but they probably weren't jawing on the way out. Where Cubs fans show up to Miller Park against the Rays on a Tuesday. Right. You know.
Yep. Yeah, there aren't Packers fans at the Rams game next week. Like you're saying, though, there aren't Packers fans at the Rams game next week. They're talking trash about the Packers. They're like, that's what Cubs fans do. No, and that's the thing. Like, the thing that gets me, though, is when the Cubs fans do the, like, oh, man, you guys only have any sort of tickets because we come up. Like, you know, we've been top 10 in attendance for, like, the last decade plus. Right. Like, we always have high attendance in Milwaukee. And they're like, just because of us. I'm like, because of the 9 games a year you're here, I don't think that's true, but good on you.
The other thing that really makes me mad about Cubs fans is that, oh, you're not actually the smallest market in baseball. No, we actually are the smallest market in baseball. And it's not even close. Yes, we are. So this thing that we're not the smallest market and you're not the largest market, no, you're number 3 market and we are actually the smallest market.
Yeah.
So can we stop with that anytime soon? But back to what you were saying. So you had high aspirations, low expectations for the Packer game this weekend. At the end of this game, because first of all, as I texted you last week, if they didn't win today, it's going to be 3 months of war stories of us talking about our days back in the Army. If they don't win, because there's going to be nothing to talk about. We'll talk about the Bucks here in a little bit. But anyways, I was really mad about it because the Packers defense actually showed up.
Yeah, they played very well, I thought.
And, you know, to hold in the way that the rules are set up for the offense now, to hold the Rams to 29 points – was, and 2 points of those weren't there, so 27 points, was really good, and they played really well, and the Packers had a real shot, and it showed that the Packers are more than just some flunky team from the NFC North, and they could have beaten the Rams, which would have put them a leg up on the Vikings. I'm sure the Rams are going to beat I'm sure they're going to beat the Bears. I'm sure they're going to beat the Lions. The winner of the NFC North is going to have 9 wins. Because none of them can seem to win. So that's why I got so mad about this one. Because they could have been 4-2-1, and they would have been – they're all looking up at the Bears right now.
Who they were all looking down at the Bears a week ago, too. It's just hilarious how they dance around.
I mean, it's just it was a win. And at this point, it's going to be the difference between 1 or 2 wins. And the second-place team in the North is not going to get into the playoffs.
I don't know. We'll see. The NFC least isn't that good, and I guess we'll have to see who else is coming out of anywhere else. It's probably
Washington's 5-2.
Yeah, and nobody else in that division's any good. Washington's going to walk away with that. The Giants are a college team.
The Giants are not tall. The Giants look like that meteor that was hurtling towards Earth in Armageddon right now. Just a big ball of fire.
Okay.
Oh my.
I was not sure where you were going.
The 2 most talented offensive players in the league on their team.
Oh, Barkley. Okay. I was wondering who the second. I was like, Shepard? Or is he saying Eli?
Well,
I was like,
you
he
add
can't
in
mean
Shepard
Eli.
Too. I mean, now Beckham take away all this side antics and stuff like that. That dude's talented. He really is talented. Now, I know it's all overblown over a one-handed catch.
Yes.
But he is actually a really good wide receiver. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Shepard's plenty good, too. And then Saquon Barkley, that dude is for real. Like, he is a really good football player. And
yeah, he is.
The fact that the Giants are that bad. And then, of course, Eli Manning comes out today and says he will not waive his no-trade claws.
Ugh. So tired of him. He's been overrated his entire career. He's another guy who, like, but he won Super Bowls. He was just along for the ride on those. And come on. Yeah. Those defenses won those Super Bowls, and he managed to make a play at the end. But he didn't carry those teams.
Well, and his last name's Manning.
Yeah. Sometimes the quarterbacks just get way too much of stuff there. But
I wish Cooper Manning would get more credit for his pregame stuff that he does. With sorry.
Yeah, no, that's fine.
That was bad.
Either way. Anyhow, I don't know. I think they'll still be all right. We got to play the Patriots next week.
The Patriots and then the Dolphins, who...
I'm not worried about the Dolphins.
I'm not really worried about them either, but they've had good games this year. And then they have to go to Seattle, which last time I checked, doesn't end well for the Packers ever.
They're not that good this year, though.
They looked great yesterday.
Who are they playing yesterday? I can't even remember who they were playing. The Sorrowful Sisters of the Poor, or who was it?
The Wailing Jennies.
The Northwestern.
No, the Badgers lost to Northwestern. Yeah, right. You're getting yourself mixed up.
They should all just be done. I don't know, and I don't care. They haven't impressed me in any way, so just whatever. The one last Packers thing that I do want to get into is this. There's this Rob Domofsky piece that just set me off, and I was furious about this because this is the classic Rob Domofsky thing. He finds a statistic, tells you how the Packers are last in it, but then neglects to tell you why there's any significance to this stat other than that he has named it. He wrote an entire article about how the Packers are now paying the price for three terrible Ted Thompson drafts, Ted Thompson's last three drafts. And he starts off ingratiating himself to every Packers fan in Wisconsin by saying, "Oh, man, if we just had TJ Watt." And you're like, oh, get over it. Just that one is... that ship has sailed. Just dwelling on that one player and doing it specifically to name a Wisconsin player so that everybody is immediately on your side through the rest of the article. And he did that on purpose. And he gives you a thing. He says, you know what? Counting in 2015, 16, 17 drafts, look at players with starters, the number of starters on their teams from those drafts. Packers only have four, counting Kenny Clark, Kevin King, Blake Martinez, and then whichever running back they're starting that day because they're all drafted right in that time frame.
Mm-hmm.
He says, man, only two teams have fewer combined starters from those things. Clearly the Packers are terrible because of that, because the Packers four, that's awful. You know who's right above them at five? The Patriots and the Ravens, which tells you this stat is stupid. It's a terrible statistic because you're saying, like, man, the Packers are only in a class with the Ravens and Patriots with this number. And he did this like 2 years ago too with, he took the average 40 time from their college 40 for the top two receivers and starting tight end from each team and said, well, the Packers are the lowest. But it was like the year Jordy was hurt. And so he's comparing someone else and Cobb and Richard Rodgers. And you're like, well, Richard Rodgers was the slowest of all of this. And he also didn't actually use Reggie Cobb's 40 time. He actually used the wrong time for him, by the way.
Right.
And he said, oh, the Packers are among the worst. Never mind the fact that, you know who else was among the worst? Is the Patriots. You know who was number one in this statistic that he told us was super important? It's the Cleveland Browns. And he's like, that's a, what? What are you doing here? And I had friends citing this to me, like, did you read that? That's a pretty awesome thing. It's pretty important. I was like, it clearly isn't, because you know who else sucks at this stat? It's the Patriots. Maybe you're reading the stat backwards.
Right.
So again.
Well, and like we said during pre-production too, was that, you know, the Ravens aren't exactly a terrible organization. They've had a couple down years, but I mean, they've won Super Bowls and they're a pretty decent team in a division that beats up on each other every year, minus the Browns. I mean, the Ravens are a good team too. So, I mean, the two teams that you just cited, I mean, the Browns are a shining example of nothing to anybody in the league. And so, like we were talking about too before this, was that I really think this was some of the stuff that Domofsky writes is great. I love it. It really is. But sometimes I'm wondering if he's trying to get in bed with the current GM of the team. You know, like if he's just trashing the old hierarchy just to make sure that they know that he's on their side. Because it happens everywhere throughout the NFL, especially with these ESPN writers, like the beat writers for those organizations. I don't know. Is that a bit of a reach? I don't know.
I don't know. But I mean, like, here's the best part. He's like, there are six teams at the top there who have 10 starters from those drafts. You know, I mean, like, you're like, man, that's great. Those teams must be awesome. Like the 3-4 Cowboys, the 3-4 Buccaneers, the 3-4 Falcons, the 3-5 Jaguars, the Seahawks at 4-3.
Mm-hmm.
And was it the Texans? The Texans are very good. They're 5-3.
I knew you were going to say the Texans.
But the Texans are on there. But the other ones, there are two teams with winning records among those amazing six teams to have 10 starters. I was like, the rest of the, like, you know what? We have a better record than the Cowboys, Buccaneers, Falcons, Jaguars. And so it's just like, why are you telling us that the stat is so important? Four of the six teams you're talking about are doing so much better than us. The ones who are winning at this stat are losing. They have losing records in bad conferences, bad divisions, several of them.
And I don't have the stats right in front of me, but I think the Jaguars are on a 5-game losing streak, right?
Right. Yeah.
They started off 3-0, and they didn't allow cameras into the locker room after the game on Sunday because there was a fight in the locker room.
And they're also about to all be arrested by London police. So,
boom. That's right, too. I forgot about that.
So,
cheerio, mate. Good day, then, Jaguars. Welcome here.
It's not like an American jail. It's a London jail. They're going to let you out.
It's anyhow, a proper jail.
Yeah, whatever. So that's my big thing. This is a terrible article written about a statistic that he doesn't even bother to tell you that it's important. He just assumes you know that it's important because he's telling you about it. And look, the Packers are almost last in it, down there with those worthless Patriots. Not like those awesome Cowboys. It's like, come on. What are you doing with this?
Is there a more wildly disappointing franchise in the last 30 years than the Dallas Cowboys, by the way?
No, I don't know, but it makes me happy.
Even the year they went 13-3, they got smoked by a 10-6 Packer organization.
I'm not disappointed by that at all.
40-some-odd points to the Falcons in the NFC Championship game.
Yeah, that didn't disappoint me at all.
I think everybody in America outside of Texas was super happy to see that happen.
Everyone except Skip Bayless.
Right. Well, yeah.
I was still mad about that. Let's get into the good stuff here. This is a good one, and I might put this onto a separate kind of solo podcast that I'll do. No, I mean, it's going to be part of our show, but I'll refer to them as John Solos because I'll do something by myself here every now and then. And I might touch on this more by myself, but Badger hockey. Badger hockey is 4-2 and are ranked 14th in the country. They just split with Michigan Tech in an oddly matched up thing because they lost 2-6 and then won 6-2. They beat BC, and then BC proceeded to make that less impressive by losing a couple other games. But the Badgers have looked decent. They've looked nice out there. They're getting some wins. Wyatt Kalanuk has got 4 goals. Seamus Malone, that's a great name. Linus Weisbach, you got a Kalanuk, Malone, and Weisbach.
Did you say Linus?
Linus, yeah, his name is Linus.
Oh God, there's not enough Linuses left.
Those are our point. Those are our point leaders so far. so yeah, they've had some good games. I mean, yeah, 2-6, that's not great. But they are 14th ranked right now. They haven't gotten, obviously, into Big Ten play. And for those of you who don't know, the Badgers are in the Big Ten in hockey.
Yes.
They did not used to be a Big Ten in hockey because
yes.
Wisconsin and Minnesota played in the WCHA.
Oh, don't even bring that up in Minnesota. That's a very touchy subject, by the way.
Because all the rest of them stayed.
They don't like to bring that up over there.
Because all the rest of the Minnesota schools stayed there.
Right.
Which is great. The Badgers still play basically WCHA for their non-conference. They just played Michigan Tech, and they're going to play North Dakota. Are they the Fighting Spirit now? They had to change their name. I can't remember what they changed themselves
to. North Dakota? I think they're just North Dakota.
They are the Fighting Hawks. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's right. They ended up going with, yeah, that the massively Fighting Hawks. Disappointing name.
They are 2-2-1 right now, and they just played Minnesota State and then Minnesota and beat them both. So North Dakota and Wisconsin looking like a very good matchup this next week. Looks like the 14th, and I think the, well, current US or USCHO poll has North Dakota at 14 and the Badgers at 16. And if those of you who don't know what USCHO, it's U.S. College Hockey Online, uscho.com. One of the greatest individual college sports sites or individual sports sites that there is.
Oh, yeah, USCHO. Yeah, and they've been good for 20 years. Back when I was working at UW-Superior on public radio, and we were covering UW-Superior D3 hockey, you could go to USCHO and get D3 scores in real time 20 years ago. They're unbelievable.
They're really good, and they do a great job. And just to point out, too, some great great Wisconsin stuff. St. Norbert ranked number one in the Division III men's poll. UW-Stevens Point ranked number four.
So, what?
Yeah, yeah. UW-Eau Claire ranked 14.
Wow. And that's very different from back when we used to cover college hockey.
Well,
wow.
back when I was growing up in Stevens Point, the Pointers were great. They won the national titles in 89, 90, and 91, and I think again in 93 or 94.
Mm-hmm.
So they've got five or six national championships at UWSP. Eau Claire ranked 14th. They're a very good team. We went to go watch the Pointers and Eau Claire play last year. The Pointers and Blue Golds, the ever-inventive Division III sports where UW-Stevens Point are the Pointers.
Yes.
So, but yeah, good times to be a hockey fan in Wisconsin, except for the fact that we still have no pro team. Thank you, Blackhawks, you jerks. Anyhow, what we want to end with, too, is the other most important Wisconsin sports thing going on right now. The Bucks, as of right now, are tonight, Monday, as we're recording this, have just become the only undefeated team left in the NBA. How about that? That's just crazy, right?
Oh. You are 100% correct on that.
That's what I do. I do correct.
No, sorry. I was laughing at something on Twitter about all the former Twins players that are on championship teams now. Anyways, yes, the Milwaukee Bucks. They are
7-0.
Tonight after they beat the Raptors, which was another game that was very highly touted, and it was supposed to be the Greek Freak versus the guy from San Antonio that doesn't play for San Antonio
Kawhi
anymore.
Kawhi Leonard,
and
his horrible
both
laugh.
Them, both of them conveniently did not play in the game. However, the Bucks did show up tonight, and they actually kind of proved that they can play without the Greek Freak, and the new coach in town is doing very well. I'm impressed. I think, you know, it's such a weird thing in Wisconsin that everything's been so based around Wisconsin Badgers football and Green Bay Packers football. Having a late run by the Brewers, you know, on the 8-year cycle was a nice thing this year, and it kind of got us into the fall, kind of took away from some of the early season mishappenings that happens with football. And now, you know, with LeBron out of Cleveland, who are now 0-6.
And a new coach.
Two coaches got fired in Cleveland today. Anyways, no, it's going to be nice. I really think, I mean, it's hard to get out to 7-0. And, I mean, they're already 1/10 into the basketball season, and they're undefeated.
Yeah, I mean, on pace for 82-0.
Obviously. I mean, if you do, that's just good science, John.
I'm good at math.
Yes. Well, your brother's really good at math. But...
Yeah, he is. He is. Yes, I don't have to use mine as much. No, I mean, but you look at this team. I mean, seriously, they got Brooke Lopez, Bledsoe, Brogdon, Middleton. They got some guys who can score. And Ilyasova coming off the bench most nights. Henson.
Ilyasova led the points tonight. He led in points and rebounds.
Yeah, he had a 19-10-2 night. We had a 14-4-8 night from Middleton, 17-4-5 night from Brogdon. Playing at point guard there, it looks like. Jeez, they had a couple of different guys playing at different point guards. Maker, Henson, Dellavedova, guys just coming in and giving you good, strong minutes. They are going deep on their bench, by the way. The two different bench players giving them, no, three, pardon me, three bench players giving them double digits tonight. Got double digits from DiVincenzo, from Snell, and from Maker. And it's like, well, that's great. All your starters had double digits except for Lopez. It's a nice team. It's a deep team. They're playing a lot of the bench and really just making a run of it. I was just looking at this.
Coach Bud is a great coach. Like, he was doing good things in Atlanta with not a lot of talent. I mean, Giannis is the next big thing in basketball. He really is.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy's probably the most physically gifted athlete. I mean, he was last year in the All-Star game when they did that, pick your sides thing that they did. He was the first one picked.
Yeah.
Because the dude lives up to his name. He really is unreal. And he's, what, 4 or 5 years in now, and he's still raw. Like, that's the worst part. Like, he's still raw. Like, people are going to want to come play for him. This is what you want in the NBA these days. There's no teams. There's just players. And
yeah, that's true.
He has said on numerous occasions he's tying his ship to Milwaukee. And I don't doubt that at all. He feels indebted to Milwaukee for even having taken him as high as they did in the draft, because a lot of teams didn't even think he'd be worth it. And this guy's amazing, and they're doing a really good job surrounding him with other talent, and their coach is really good. And you don't just start off 7-0 on a fluke in the NBA. I mean, nobody does.
No. And I mean, like, they didn't – I mean, they're not – killing everything here. They haven't had the toughest schedule, but they did beat the Sixers. Hornets, the Pacers, the Knicks, Sixers. Timberwolves are in a mess right now. So that one barely counts.
Why does everybody laugh when they say Knicks?
Because they're just a mess. There's like, just nothing you can do about that. They're still the Knicks. I mean, it's good to get the 76ers. The next one, they're going to have to play the Celtics after this, and that'll really tell you kind of where they are at this point. If they can hold off the Celtics on the first, that's another good win for them there. But, I mean, they got currently – actually, the Knicks, where are they on the East? I'm just trying to see where they fall right now. Oh, the Knicks are 2-5 right now. We beat the Magic, who are 2-4. The Hornets – 76ers, the Pacers, and the Raptors. All those teams are currently the top eight, top half of the conference, which means that they would get into the playoffs at this point. Bucks actually lead the league in point differential. There are only two teams. Look, I'm trying to double check this, but it looks like there's only two teams who have a point differential above 10, or 10 or above, a double-digit one. It's the Warriors and the Bucks. The Warriors have a point differential of 13.5. The Bucks are at 15.9. So,
side story. Did you see that the Golden State Warriors were beating the Bulls 92-50 at the half?
Jeez. Yeah, the Bulls. I like to see the Bulls lose too. Yeah. Any Chicago team falling down just makes me feel happier.
Yeah, no, and we were kids of the 90s. We were fans of the Bulls.
I was not.
We were. Everybody was. Who wasn't a fan of the Bulls in the 90s? It was a fun team, but yeah, at this point now, just watching any Chicago team fall flat on their face.
I'll say this. I was listening to Tony Kornheiser's podcast today, and they have Mike Wilbon on, of course, every Monday or whatever.
Yep.
And he said something about being at Northwestern, and he's just like, you know what? It's like, yeah, Notre Dame's going to come in here. There's going to be a lot of Notre Dame fans because, Notre Dame's a Chicago school. He's like, you know what? Also, Wisconsin is a Chicago school, because I was like, oh, no, you've got this backwards. Chicago's a UW city. We are not a Chicago school. You guys come to us. I was like, I was like, also, our guys go take jobs in your cities because our university is better than Illinois or whatever. They're not as good as Northwestern.
Well, you can say the same thing about Minneapolis and St. Paul. How many UW grads were up there? You lived in Minneapolis.
Yeah, well, outside, yeah. But yeah, no, it's full of UW grad. And the big reason why is that up until fairly recently, and I don't know what it's at now, but because of the way Wisconsin spent money on their universities and because of the tuition reciprocity between the two states that Minnesota fought to get rid of, because I don't know why, it was actually cheaper for Minnesota people to go to school at University of Wisconsin or any of the UW schools like UW-Eau Claire, UW-La Crosse, UW-Stevens Point, UW-Stout. It was cheaper to go there than to a Minnesota university, and the Wisconsin schools were ranked higher. Like, UW is a higher-ranked university. Wisconsin, UW-Stevens Point, La Crosse, and Eau Claire are all, I believe, all top 10 state colleges, and there aren't any in Minnesota. So it was cheaper for them to go there. So they all did. A lot of people in the Twin Cities go to schools in Wisconsin because it was cheaper and better. It was hard for them to fight that. And Minnesota tried to get rid of that because they're like, all of our students are leaving our state. We need to keep them here. Let's get rid of that reciprocity thing, which meant that it forced their students to go to more expensive schools that weren't as good. And that's progress, everybody.
Right. Well, that's socialism, and that's a different podcast. Anyways,
it's just not helping people.
Right now, the Rockets are 1-4, by the way. I guess I haven't really looked at the standings out of the East yet. The Rockets are 1-4.
And
the
Wizards. The
trendy pick of the Thunder are 1-4. The LeBron Lakers are 2-5.
Yeah. The Washington Wizards, who went out and got Dwight Howard, are 1-5.
Well, imagine that. Because all Dwight Howard does is bring in champion.
In fairness,
all Carmelo Anthony does is bring in champion.
I don't think, in fairness, Dwight Howard has actually played a game yet. So.
Does he still have a Superman cape? That's why
I'm sure he does.
Sad thing is that I'm like a better NBA mind than a lot of people know. Like, I've actually secretly like kept up on the NBA for 20 years, and so I know all this stuff. I just don't admit to it on a regular basis. But I guess it was pretty well known that the East is the Celtics to lose this year. The Bucks are off to a mad tear. We'll see if their talent is what it is, or if this is just, you know.
They're a young team, and we'll see. It'll be Bucks and Celtics playing in the final.
A winning streak can happen at the beginning of the year, the middle of the year, or the end of the year. Ask the Milwaukee Brewers. They had a really good run right at the end of the year, you know. So
yeah.
Are the Bucks going to be 70-12? Doubtful.
No, but they're going to be a good team. And I think they'll end up moving through the playoffs, and especially without a Cavaliers team that's any good. It's going to be because the NBA is the most predictable league, because it's just ridiculous. And, I mean, it'll be, let's see, it's going to be like San Antonio and, or I'm trying to think who else will be. So it's going to be the Warriors are just going to win the West. There's no other option.
Yeah, it's the Warriors and the Thunder. I really thought the Thunder were going to be a good team. I mean, with Westbrook and Paul George. The Rockets obviously were there last year.
Yeah, but it's going to be the Bucks and the Celtics.
Denver's
playing
a really
East.
Good team this year too. I mean,
they were nice last year. Yeah,
the West in hockey and basketball have always been better. You know, ever since the 90s. I mean,
it's been a while. Yeah,
it's been a long time. It's for whatever reason the power has always been out west. So. But, yeah, it's going to be – it's Golden State's to lose. I mean, Golden State's third-best player is better than most teams' best player. Yeah. Klay Thompson would be the best player on 20 other teams.
Yeah. It's,
and it's not even close. And Steph Curry's not even the best player on his team. Kevin Durant's unbelievable. And then Draymond Green, who's much like Tom Brady, he's a system player. You know, he's only good because he's in Golden State, but still, he's unbelievable. He's the only person, I think, in NBA history with a triple double that didn't involve points.
I suppose that's true.
He had it in assists, rebounds, and block shots.
Yeah,
or steals.
He knows his role, and he plays his role very well, and he's very good at that. I mean, he's a dirty player. He's going to get you right in the dang
line. And now Boogie Cousins is out there, too.
Yep.
I mean, that team's loaded Boogie Cousins would be the second best, if not the best player. He's probably the best player on 10 teams, second best player on 25 teams.
Yeah.
The Bucks would love to have Boogie Cousins.
Yeah,
I mean,
fine. And they'd be winning, so he'd be all right. He's only terrible if you start to lose. But, basically, we're running out of time here. We've gone kind of long, but I want to say we're feeling very good about the Bucks. We're happy for them. Like I said, the Brewers are a statewide team. The Badgers, the Packers, they are statewide teams. The Bucks are more of a Milwaukee team than a state team, but we do love to see them win. The NBA is just less watchable than any of the other sports for me.
And they have the best nickname in sports right now. You know who I'm talking about?
You mean a player or the team? I thought you were going with the
play, well, the not deer. Only that, but the Fear of the Deer
Fear
thing.
Fear of the Deer is nice.
Yes, I love that.
And Bango the Buck.
No, Dante DiVincenzo.
What's his? I didn't hear his nickname, I guess.
The Big Ragu.
Jeez. All right. Yeah, that gets good points, I think.
That's a great nickname.
That is a good one.
Right. Anyhow, up there, Flying Tomato.
We're going to wrap this up, though, for the week. Thank you for joining us again. Again, you can email the show at scottyjohnny@gmail.com. You can also follow us again at scottyjohnny1 on Twitter. You can follow me at jbarn54, and Aaron is at Cheddar Talk.
At Cheddar Talk.
Perfect.
At Cheddar Talk.
Yeah, send him your hate mail. But
John would love it if he did.
It would be amazing. I would like it, by the way. You would get an instant like if you went after. But anyhow, thanks again. Make sure you go on if you're listening to us on iTunes, make sure you go out there, give us one of those 5-star reviews. It helps other people find our podcast, and it helps make sure that we show up on more searches and people can get to us. So please make sure you go out there. Make sure you tell your friends about us. Just even if they listen for a minute, even tell them to download and then don't listen to us. That's fine, too. It's totally allowed. You can download and delete it off your phone or your iPod or whatever you're using. You can do that. It's totally fine. No, I won't tell anybody. It's going to be okay. No problem. You can do it. It'll be totally fine. Damn. Let's take care of that. Pass us along to everybody else. And remember, whether you're on the town or on the go, it's always on Wisconsin.
Happy Halloween.